It is May 20th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast includes commentaries from our Hits and Takes section of JLN, stories from the First Read section of today's newsletter, videos from our FIA Boca 2022 Industry Leader Series, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of Markets Wiki and Markets Wiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I have a great story to share. Last night, my wife and I attended the Medals Dinner, a fundraiser for the Pathway to Adventure Council, or PTAC, of the Boy Scouts of America. The flag ceremony included two brothers. The younger one was honored at a previous LaSalle Street fundraising event for having saved his older and much bigger brother's life by giving him the Heimlich maneuver. Both boys have since become Eagle Scouts, and both have participated in the Trading Tech Merit Badge program that firms around LaSalle Street have put on over the last several years. In fact, both boys earned every single merit badge available to earn. But here's the good part. The boys found PTAC's Miriam Herrera last night. She organized the medals dinner for PTAC, which raised $485,000 for the Scouts. Because the boys had participated in the Trading Tech Merit Badge workshops, and Miriam was the physical representation of our industry at all of them, each boy presented her with a mentor pin. Mentor pins are given to an adult that played a significant role in the Scouts earning the Eagle Scout rank. These were the first mentor pins Miriam has ever received, which is very cool and meaningful, but it is also representative of all of you who have donated to PTAC for the LaSalle Street fundraisers over the years or held Trading Tech Merit Badge workshops. All of that helped mentor these two boys. Suzanne Cosgrove has changed jobs, joining Wolters Kluwer as a content management consultant in the legal and regulatory group. She had left JLN in December to go to work for Purpose Brand as a senior content writer. Congratulations to Suzanne on her new position. John Walls, formerly of ADMIS, has been appointed Chief Information Officer of Pivot Bio, a leading microbial nitrogen innovator delivering sustainable, self-fertilizing grain crops. The firm also announced that Lisa Nunez Safarian joined as Chief Operating Officer. Former CFTC Chairman J. Christopher Giancarlo has been awarded the rank of Chevalier in the French National Order of Merit by President Emmanuel Macron. Euronext CEO Stéphane Boujnah recapped Euronext's recent first quarter results in a LinkedIn post, saying, "Our strong performance was driven by growth in non-volume related business and in trading activities, cost control, as well as the integration of the Borsa Italiana group. This first quarter performance allows us to upgrade our cost guidance for 2022. DePaul University on May 12th put out a press release announcing that Mark Shore has been named executive director of the Arditti Center for Risk Management. The Arditti Center for Risk Management was founded in 2006 to honor the late Fred Arditti, an acclaimed economist with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Congratulations, Mark. The Alegdis Stand-On Charitable Organization that provides prosthetic limbs, appropriately fitted wheelchairs, and braces to children in the developing world is celebrating the 20th anniversary of its founding. Congratulations to Seed Mead Wells and his team and board for your great work. Jeremy Bacon, founder of The Forge, has been profiled in innovationsoftheworld.com. Merricks has joined the London Platinum and Palladium Market, LPPM, as an associate member. The LPPM is a non-profit commodity trading association founded in 1973, focusing on the handling of palladium and platinum metals. Tara Derayati, CEO of Vermiculus Financial Technology, is the guest of Patrick Young's Exchange Invest podcast titled A New Code for Market Structure. Among the highlights of FIA Forum Commodities 2022 to be held June 21st, 22nd in Houston, Texas at the Houstonian from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. with no press allowed are the following. First, there is a panel moderated by Steptoe Stacy Hartman on CFTC and DOJ enforcement. The panelists include Clifford Heistad, partner at K&L Gates, Chuck Marvine, deputy director and regional administrator, director of enforcement, CFTC, Greg Mosick, partner of Allen and Overy, and Ann Termine, partner at Bracewell. Secondly, there's a panel titled Responding to Inquiries from Regulators with moderator Elizabeth Davis, a partner at McGonigal. The speakers on her panel are Vito Nimoli, Chief Regulatory Officer, ICE, Paul Pentano, partner Wilkie Farr and Gallagher, Josh Sterling, partner Jones Day, Regina Thull, partner Senior Vice President Compliance NFA, and Andrew Vrabel, Managing Director and Chief Regulatory Officer of CME Group. Lastly, there is a fireside chat moderated by FIA Senior Vice President of Publications and Data and Research, Will Ackworth, titled Commodity and Energy Market Trends. The speaker is Jill Santina, Vice President for Surveillance and Supervisory Risk Banking Supervision, Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. This is a not-to-miss event. Did you want to learn how to customize your avatar so that your avatar is the same no matter what metaverse you are in? Then just watch the latest video from our friends at GetRealXR. Watch Ed Haravan change himself into his avatar right in front of you. Can a bored ape contract the monkeypox virus? Asking for a friend. I'm having some problems with my John Lothian at johnlothian.com email account. We are in search of a new email provider. If you have some suggestions, let me know. In the meantime, contact me by email at lothian.john@gmail.com. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, a video from Boca. Jerome Kemp is bullish on DLT to transform cleared derivatives, enhance FCM model. Jerome Kemp, the president of Baton Systems, was interviewed by JLN at FIA Boca 2022 about how he moved into his Baton role after retiring from Citi. Starting as a consultant, he became more involved to the point that he was asked to join the company's executive committee as president. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Secondly, Vermiculus chairman Nils Robert Pearson on launching during a pandemic and structuring his company for growth. Nils Robert Pearson, chairman of the board of Vermiculus Financial Technology, had no intention of starting a new company after leaving Sonober in 2019. What happened is he was asked and he couldn't refuse. When some of the best people you have ever worked with and some of the customers you're extremely proud of working with come and ask you to start, it's easy to start again. Pearson told John Lothian News at FIA Boca 2022. To watch this video, you can see it on johnlothiannews.com. Here's an ad from our friends at FIA. FIA's International Derivatives Expo is returning to the brewery in London this coming June 6th to 8th. Standing still is not an option in today's evolving cleared derivatives environment. Without adapting to new products, processes, technologies, and regulations, your business won't meet the needs of tomorrow's industry. We're bringing together industry leaders, vendors, and policymakers to discuss what's now in derivatives and what lies ahead. You can click on the image in today's newsletter to register for the event. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Barclays warns even fully collateralized stablecoins may be prone to downward spiral. There's a wide variety of horses in the world of stablecoin, and more than one type might be prone to sudden runs. While much attention has been focused on algorithmic stablecoins in the wake of Terra's spectacular collapse last week, fully collateralized coins like Tether might not prove to be much of a different animal. That's the warning from Joe Abate, strategies at Barclays PLC, who says that while questions have been swirling over the assets backing the Tether stablecoin, the token might still be prone to a sudden dearth of liquidity and subsequent price spiral, even assuming it's fully collateralized. comment. Stable, how about transparent? Really transparent. That is the issue today. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Is the SEC unconstitutional? Also, Wells Fargo's fake interviews and continuing Musk Twitter drama. Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. One way to paraphrase that is, federal law is made by Congress. In the modern U.S., that is not quite true. Some federal law is made by Congress, but quite a lot of federal law is made by government departments and administrative agencies. In many cases, Congress passes fairly general laws, and those laws instruct the relevant agency to write rules implementing the laws. And then the agencies write more specific rules. Sometimes these rules just fill in the deals in a comprehensive statutory scheme. Other times the agencies have pretty broad mandates to write rules that are in the public interest, and they get to set their own agendas and decide what that means. My comment. I don't know about the SEC being unconstitutional, but I can tell you the Big Ten having 14 teams is unmathematical. Oh, wrong SEC. Here's another story from Bloomberg. America's political right has a new enemy. Number one, ESG investors. The popular investing strategy is drawing new partisan attacks ahead of U.S. midterm elections. Heading into the hotly contested midterm elections, the American political right has a new rallying cry. Down with ESG! Conservatives have identified the popular investing strategy, which accounts for environmental, social, or governance risk, as part of a broader narrative about left-wing overreach and wokeness run amok. Utah Treasurer Marlo Oakes calls it corporate cancel culture. Behind the rhetoric lies policies designed to sap the momentum of one of Wall Street's most successful initiatives in recent years, now worth $35 trillion globally. If it works, it will firmly ensconce ESG in the culture wars, galvanize voters, and weaken the resolve of big asset managers to act on climate change and other big societal issues. My comment, everyone has the right to have enemies. My enemy is stupidity. Here's another story from Bloomberg. America, China, Russia, and the avalanche of history. The world doesn't move in cycles or with a grand design. Echoes of the 1970s remind us that one disaster often begets another. From Neil Ferguson. Does the arc of history bend towards justice, or is everything falling apart? Philosophers of histories have long sought a cycle of history. Ibn Khaldun offered one version in his Muqaddimah, 1377. Islam, in its infancy, has desert toughness, but power leads to sedentary habits and luxury, while extravagance leads to fiscal crisis. My comment, it all depends on which metaverse you live in and how history evolves. One too many Loki and everything is up for grabs. Here's another story from Bloomberg. This year, filing taxes will claim 1,262 American lives, sort of. I've got your attention, so I'll let you off the hook about the title right away. This isn't about infected paper cuts, exploding pens, or mailbox mishaps. It takes the average American 13 hours to prepare and file their tax return. The average lifespan in the U.S. is 78.79 years, which works out to about 690,000 hours, with 67 million returns filed per year, which is the equivalent of about 1,262 lives per tax season. I'm putting lost in quotes because time spent doing something enjoyable is never time wasted, and who knows, at least a few preparers might enjoy filing process. So what is to be done to stop the bloodshed? Fund the IRS, embrace technology, streamline the tax filing process, shift expectations. My comment. I know filling out taxes is killing me. Let's try funding the IRS and see if we can change things. Here's a story from the New York Times. At Wells Fargo, a quest to increase diversity leads to fake job interviews. Black and female candidates are sometimes interviewed after the recipient of a job is identified, current and former employees say. Joe Bruno, a former executive in the wealth management division of Wells Fargo, had long been troubled by the way his unit handled certain job interviews. For many open positions, employees would interview a diverse candidate, the bank's term for a woman or person of color, in keeping with the bank's years-long informal policy. But Mr. Bruno noticed that often the so-called diverse candidate would be interviewed for a job that had already been promised to someone else. My comment, I think Wells Fargo must have learned this trick from the NFL. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story on Thursday, by a long way, was Bloomberg's The Math Prodigy, whose hack upended DeFi, won't give back his millions. Second was the Financial Times, cryptocurrency platform FTX expands into U.S. equities market. The third was the John Lothian News video interview, Pat Kenny, the most interesting man in interesting times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First is the story from Bloomberg. Griffin Citadel nears tipping point on Chicago exit over crime. Patience is wearing thin, billionaire says in interview. Griffin has previously donated millions for policing program. Billionaire Ken Griffin is reaching a tipping point with Chicago, the home to his market maker and hedge fund business, as the city wrestles with rising crime. We're getting to the point that if things don't change, we're gone. Griffin, who founded both the hedge fund Citadel and the market-making business Citadel Securities, said Thursday in an interview, things aren't changing. Here's another story from Bloomberg. If Tesla isn't good enough for an ESG index, then who is? The carmaker's removal from the S&P 500 ESG index places a stark relief the broader market's conflation of the label with sustainability. Tesla Inc.'s removal this week from an industry benchmark index is raising new questions about what ESG actually means to investors. The strategy, widely seen as favoring industries ostensibly interested in sustainability of the environmental, social, and governance sort, started about two decades ago as a way to protect investors from risk tied to things like global warming, labor violations, and discrimination. Since then, it morphed into a $35 trillion industry that's allowed millions of investors to feel as though they're doing good. And now more people are confused about what ESG is really supposed to achieve. And then finally, a story from the FT. Meme-themed, social media-driven ETFs plummet in value. The narrowly focused funds that rely on the wisdom of crowds are failing to deliver this year. Reddit's Wall Street Bets crowd may once have vowed to take meme stocks to the moon. Instead, they and the exchange-traded funds that focus on them have been eclipsed by steady, boring, earthbound investments. The particularly poor performance of social media-driven meme-themed ETFs is partly due to favored constituent stocks such as computer game retailer GameStop, cinema operator AMC Entertainment, and electric vehicle maker Rivian badly undershooting. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.